Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Today, governments are facing very serious, seemingly intractable public management issues that go to the core of effective governance and leadership, testing the very form, structure, and capacity required to meet these problems head-on. Complex challenges, or so-called wicked problems, tend to have innumerable causes and are hard to define, making their mitigation resistant to predetermined solutions or traditional problem-solving approaches. Since complex challenges confront people with the unknown and unpredictable, they also demand a different style of leadership, one that shapes vision and fosters alignment and commitment through collaborative action. Depending on the challenge faced, government leaders may need to fundamentally transform how their organizations operate to meet mission. For example, when facing the challenge of budget cuts and significant resource reallocation, transformational change that can deliver mission value more efficiently will be increasingly important. What is transformational leadership? How have government leaders successfully led transformational change? When should government leaders consider undertaking transformation initiatives? Today, we will explore these questions and so much more with Bob Reasoner, author of the recent IBM Center report, A Leader's Guide to Transformation, Developing a Playbook for Successful Change Initiatives. Welcome, Bob. It's good to have you on the program.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bill Takis. Bill, welcome back. It's great to have you.
Nice to see you again.
Bob, given your research, what is meant by transformation?
Well, what transformation literally means is the change from one form to a new form, and it retains the DNA, the properties of the former being, is what transformation is all about. And in government, it has become a popular term during the last decade in talking about the kinds of dramatic changes that are needed in government today.
So an important aspect of your report, actually the key aspect of your report, is the introduction of transformational leadership. Now, you've defined what transformation is, but can you tell us a little bit about transformational leadership and more specifically, who will be tomorrow's transformational leaders?
Well, the way in which the research was conducted was to interview 8 different, and ultimately we reached out to 10 different leaders who were transformational leaders, who were recognized by experts in the field as having led important transformational initiatives or having had experiences that were particularly going to give us insight. And what we were seeking to do was to learn from them and to gain from their experience, to have them tell us their stories. But what is clear is that tomorrow's transformational leaders may come from any part of the organization. It isn't going to be the organization chart that defines who leads transformational initiatives. It may well come from a constituency that's the driver of a transformational change.
And with that, because of the conversations you've had, the folks you've interviewed, the profiles you put in the report, what steps should be taken to ensure successful transformation? And more to the point, what is mission value and how essential is it for leaders to focus on creating mission value?
Well, let me begin with mission value because it's a concept that was introduced to me in a recent monograph that was written by Chuck Proh of IBM, but he put his finger on something that I think through my experience in Washington and with governmental agencies is particularly important, which is defining value, defining the concept of what is creating value for a public leader. And so what mission value is specifically is it's a concept that notes that you can get to creating value through either of two pathways. One pathway is creating new value or improving the quality of services, delivering service, or at the same time, it you can increase value by cutting costs and by improving efficiency. Now, it was presented as a more or less a formula. By cutting those costs in the denominator, you could increase the value overall, or by increasing the numerator. But the idea that this mission value is both concepts was something that came through in the interviews with these transformational leaders, and a point that was referred to by a number were that it couldn't simply be cutting costs to create transformation. It couldn't simply be creating new services, especially in this time of budget cuts and resource constraints.
It's very interesting what you're talking about with regards to mission value. Now, when you talk to the individual leaders in your report, what were the key elements that they felt were very important or essential in creating that meaningful change? And how did they go about sustaining that change over the long term, not just a quick change, but a long-term, very systematic change?
Well, one of the things, Bill, as you know, as we talked about the research over the last 2 years, was we were trying to get the ideas from the leaders themselves. We were trying to get what we called a playbook, where individual leaders would talk to us about what had worked well for them. And what was striking to me across a lot of different interviews was how they all talked about five basic elements. There's a part of this which has to do with the plan, with deciding what to do. There's a part of it which has to do with part of successful transformation that has to do with aligning that plan with the mission of the agency. There's a part as well which is absolutely critical, which has to do with innovation and anticipating the future. There's a part that has to do with strategic implementation. And then finally, in sustaining this transformation process. And the sustaining is an interesting point because it's not only the concern of leaders to be sure that what they achieve is transferred and stays with these agencies over time, but also the recognition that the forces that are driving change and transformation are not going away, that the same force that drove the need to transform is going to drive the perpetual need to continue to transform over time.
Well, I thank you for explaining the concept of the playbook, because as I read the report, it's very interesting how you brought that out and made it come alive from your experiences with speaking to the folks.
Well, it really was their playbook. It's their plays and their concepts about what leads to success.
Well, let me rewind the tape a little bit here and go back to the beginning. What made you really think about doing this type of a report, and what made you want to think about these research in this particular area, and why did you speak to the people that you did, and how did you pick them?
Yeah, well, the reason for my interest in transformation, and Bill, you and I share this a little bit, and that I know you've worked extensively with the Postal Service, was that in the mid-90s, I was a consultant and I was recruited by Marvin Runyon and Bill Henderson, who was his then working for Marvin. Bill was his successor as Postmaster General. And I had this opportunity to go to work for the Postal Service. And the Postal Service is a leader in having had to run into the problem of having had to transform its institution. The internet delivered a challenge to the Postal Service that is almost unlike challenges that face a lot of other agencies. And so over time, as I ultimately became vice president for strategic planning at the Postal Service, this idea of the transformation of public institutions is naturally something that I was interested in and have been studying really for the last 20 years almost.
Well, and I look forward to talking with you a little bit more about the Postal Service and its transformation in a few moments. How did you pick the individual leaders that you did for the study?
Well, it was very much a product of collaboration with the Center for the business of government. There have been a number of leaders that their magazines and radio shows like this one and blogs and meetings and quite a range of activity that the center's involved in that were engaging various leaders across the government. And in collaborating with them, Bill, you may remember you and I both talked to them about who would be good subjects for this study, and it came from a nomination process from IBM's experience and the leaders of various accounts, as well as the individuals in the center.
Bob, you've given us a wonderful sort of tee-up of the report and why you pursued this kind of research area, and you alluded to a little bit about your background, but I'd like to, for you to tell us a little bit more about your career path and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been in Washington. My wife probably would say I'm unable to escape Washington since the 70s. When I got the experience that I just referred to of working on transformation at the Postal Service, I recognized at some point along that process that this was probably about the sixth time that I'd been involved in major transformations that involved the government. What brought me to Washington was I was at Harvard Business School and got a chance to work on for the Ash Council on government reorganization when the Environmental Protection Agency was being created. And so watched what was then an enormous transformation from a society that allowed businesses to create externalities to a sense of public interest. It was a change that was profound and became even more interesting when the energy crisis threw a new light on energy and the environment. I left government in 1976 to teach at the Yale School of Management and to be a management consultant, which is something that I continued to do until I got this phone call from a recruiter who was working for Marvin Runyon, and that drew me back into the government again.
What are the five steps to transformation? We will explore this question and so much more on the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors returns.